to get over that God is so honoring us. He is just like, what is this now, Beth, 15 or 16? Something like that anyway. Don't look it up. Don't worry about it. It's been a while. I think actually it's probably been since the first Sunday in January maybe. But it's like God has been so honoring us and been so merciful and so gracious to us that it's like little baby step after little baby step, He's been revealing this parable to us. And He says, if you don't know this one, how are you going to know any of them? So it is like this is the key. This is the granddaddy of all the parables in the Bible. That is just, that's awesome to me. Because He says, this is the way of the kingdom. And God said, well, I'm not going to just get it. He said, we're all going. When do you ever hear Him do that in a congregation? Now, He always wants us all to go, but it's like God is waiting on all of us till we all go together. See, one of the things that a lot of people, they don't get about church, excuse me, and assembling together is it's not just about brushing your teeth and combing your hair and coming to a building. That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. You can come if you don't brush your teeth. We hope you do, but if you don't, you can still come and all that. But what it is, God, we will always do together what we'll never accomplish apart. Brother Bill Barrio, most of y'all, or a lot of y'all probably remember him. He was an apostle. He came here, and he was at Faith Restoration. And then y'all remember John Adedola? He's not been here in, what, probably 15 years, 12? No, he did come one time when we come in the back part. But anyway, my point for saying all that, Brother John Adedola, he's a pastor over in India that comes over here. And then Apostle Bill Barrio, both of them told Scotty. Because, see, Scotty, y'all hear some of the stuff Scotty thought about me and said about me that wasn't too good. And both of them prophesied to him, and they told him, they said, you will go further with her than you ever will by yourself. Why? He has an anointing on his life. One of the anointings that he has and he's called to do is to teach God's people how to prosper. Now, see, you would think God would pick somebody that's got a bunch of money. Or somebody that's got it all together. Or somebody that's got, you know, college education. No, the Bible says God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He doesn't need us to be good, look good, have it together. Matter of fact, He works best in those that don't. Why? They know who they are. They don't have any ability. It's all His ability. So one of the anointings on His life is to teach God's people how to prosper. Now, I know how to prosper, but that's not an anointing that's on my life. And when I say prosper, it's not just finances. He teaches you, y'all hear it all the time, marriage, you know, finances, all this other kind of stuff. There's different anointings on my life, different giftings, different graces, different callings. But now mine and His calling runs together. Why? God put us together. Just like when we come together here. Every one of us, some of us, we may have the same callings, the same anointings, but every one of us, just because you're here and you believe God sent you here or God did send you here, tells me your anointing is supposed to intermingle with mine and get stronger. My anointing is supposed to intermingle with yours and get stronger and creates anointings that has not been. That's why Scotty, whenever he went one time up to Brother Brad, he'd pray for him, and he said, Brother Brad, he said, pray for me. He said, give me a double portion of the anointing that's on your life. And God granted it to him. And then Scotty has Brother Brad's anointing. Right after that, he started, every time he would preach, he would say, how many knows? And say whatever it is. How many? Brother Brad says that a lot. Used to more than what he does now. But what happened? Because he received that anointing. Sometimes if y'all ain't heard Ron Carpenter, if you listen to him, when I'm up here, he comes out. Usually that's when I get to that point and I say, y'all ain't saying nothing. I did not have that. I don't try to say that. Matter of fact, I don't even like it when I say it most time. Why? Because I receive from that anointing that is imparted unto me, and then it comes out of me. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. And people that they don't assemble together, you do not have that. See, what God is trying to do is God is trying to make one corporate man all over the world. And He does it partly through assembling together like we do now. That's why God told us, He said, you're going to move as one. That's why we've all got to go together this year. Why? Because, see, I have prayed for I don't know how many years now. God, come out of the box. See, where I come from, where we went to church, now it wasn't every single service, but a lot of the services, you got one over there crying, you got one over there in the spirit, rolling around in the floor, you got another one in the back, they're laughing, you got the altars full. I remember one time there was this guy, now I'm not talking about flesh, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. How many knows when he comes on you, you will react? Sometimes it's like you sticking your finger in a light socket is how you react. Sometimes it's like all power shut down, you're laying in the floor and don't know how you got there. But one time the Spirit of God was moving and I could hear a commotion going on in the back. And I looked back there and there was this guy, he was visiting. He was kin to the gypsies that went there. And he was visiting and he's standing there and he's looking at the wall. And I'm telling you, his head is going back. And I don't know how in the world that man's head didn't break off of his neck. I'm serious. There's no possible way that a human being could have moved his head and neck like that without it being hurting. And his hair, I'm not talking about it was flopping. I'm talking about the cartoons that y'all see where they stick their finger in a light socket or they touch an explosion or something and their hair is just straight out all over their head. That's exactly how his hair was. And you might be like, what's that matter to me? It matters a lot because God wants out of the box. But there's some people don't want him out of the box. See, there's some people, they're satisfied just to have God just enough in their life so they're not going to hell anymore. And they get a little money to pay their bills, and they get to have pleasure. And that's about as far as they want Jesus. And how many knows that's okay? You get born again, journey's supposed to start. Now you're going to miss out on a whole lot. Because when God comes out of his box, supernatural things happen. That's what I've been praying for years. Now, you got Scotty over there, and I am a word person, too. You hear, word. Get on the word. Get on the word. You know what he means by that? Take your stand based on the word against the enemy and God or whatever you're believing for. Where I'm a little more, have a tendency to the spirit. I like the supernatural. I like it when God moves, when I don't know what's going to happen. We just led. We just flow with him, and the Holy Ghost just powerfully does miracles and different things among us. Because see, you can have just the word. The Bible says that the letter killeth, but it is the spirit that gives life. If you're just word, you have a tendency there to get religious and dry. And on the other hand, if you just have spirit, those kind of people, they real flaky. They're weird. God's not weird. Not at all. But if you take the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the manifestation of the Spirit of God along with the Word, then the Word helps you to discern what is God, what is not God, what we will receive, what we don't receive. Oh, and then it's all good. Why am I saying all that? Because that's what God is doing for us this year. And I don't believe it's just for us. I believe it's all over the world that God is putting out a call to his people. That like in Ezekiel, he asked him, can these bones live? And he said, oh, Lord God, you know. Then the Bible says that the Spirit began to blow on the bones and they began to stand up sinews and all that began to come over them. Then at the end it says they stood up and they was a great and exceeding army. Who do you think that is? Us. But we must receive the winds of the Spirit and we must let God out of the box that we've placed him. Listen, everybody has a box. What happened to me, I guess it's been maybe three services. The Sunday, whatever it was, that Monty did Sunday school and I did 11 o'clock for Scotty because he was going to the, urgent care. Well, before I get on that, let me say this. Let's look at Luke 17. Monty said it, I've said it, Monty just got a revelation of it, and y'all have heard April's like, yeah, okay, what? We're all on different levels. God shows us all different things. See, because then when we come together, when we all get in the same mind, the same accord, grow into the same place. The Bible talks about in Ephesians that he gave the fivefold ministry for the perfecting or the equipping of the church. Till what? Till we all come into the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's where he's taking all of us. And when you get there, when you get a body that's there in that place, and one comes in the door, you got a song, Sandy, that God gave you. You got a hymn. You got a teaching. Then we become like the book of Acts. And we all begin to move and flow as one corporate man. You don't have that at home by yourself. You don't have that with Billy Graham or Joel Osteen on the TV. Not saying you can't get something from them or a nugget or a revelation, but no. When we come in here, God wants to move through all of us. He says, 1 Corinthians 12, for the profit of all. I am not the fivefold ministry in itself. I am a part of the fivefold ministry. I have my gifts and my calling. But then you got Scotty. He's an apostle. He's got another gift and a calling. Then you've got Dee. Then you've got Sandy. Then you've got all of these. And what he means when we come together, that we are all used by God for the edification and the profit of the entire church, for the building up of the body of Christ, he says. That's why he's doing it, Sandy. Because he's coming. We're running out of time. Whether it's by way of the grave, I'm closer to the grave or his coming than what I was yesterday. And we're running out of time because he's got a set time that he's coming. And the Bible says that in the last days he's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. So who's going to do the work in? Us. Then who's going to turn around? The Bible says the laborers are few. He says pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. We are the laborers. And there's going to be even more. And listen to me, y'all guys are not the first ones. We are not the first people. We are not the first church that was planted in Blountsville by God that believed the way we believe. There was others. Now maybe y'all don't remember them, and I'm not going to call no names, but there was others. Me and Scotty was not the first ones picked to be down here to start this church. There was others. They didn't make it. For whatever, Johnny, you are not the first Hispanic to come here. But you are the only one that has stayed thus far. See, Scotty has this thing, and it was there by God. And I think the devil knows sometimes the plan of God before you even get born again. Because he sees God do different things in your life before you even get saved. How many knows God protected you as much as he could before you got born again? There's times that some of us, we should have died. We should have been in prison. Somebody should have killed us. But God, by his mercy, intervened as much as he possibly could. Well, see, before Scotty got born again, y'all have heard the stories, he was a major, major racist against any person. Don't matter how good or bad you are, any person, if your skin was not the color of Beth and Sandy and Aubrey. I got a little bit of tint on me or whatever. Now, that's just the way he was. I don't know what made him that way. I know the devil was involved in it and all of that. But then as soon as he gets born again, what happens to him? I told you about the works worthy of repentance. Right off the bat, we're still going to the laundromat. I mean, that's how far down we still are financially. We ain't even got a washer and dryer. We're at the laundromat. Guess who's there? Y'all have heard the story? Mexicans or Hispanics, whatever they was of that nationality anyway. And their car is broke down. And lo and behold, they don't ask me to take them home. And there's nobody else around, and they ask Scotty to take them home. And I'm like, let me get on in the laundromat. Something is about to happen. Because that's what always happens. I mean, I've lived with him, seen it. Well, because he's been born again now, he takes him home. There's works worthy of repentance in there. But my point to all that, why, Donnie, is it Hispanic? Then he goes and he preaches. His first message that he preaches, guess who it is that gets born again? A Mexican. See, for some reason or another, the plan of God, Mexicans, Hispanics, if you're born here in this country, it makes you Hispanic, right? And then if you're not, you're Mexican if you're born over there or whatever. That's why I say that, because I don't know. But anyway, through the plan of God, there is Hispanics and Mexicans involved in the plan of God that's linked to Scotty's destiny, that is linked to their destiny. Johnny, there was some here before you. God picked them. We saw the anointing on their life. God chose them, and they were supposed to be here and be a part of this ministry, and God would flourish them, and God would flourish us for what they had, but they didn't stay. But I know some things and know some problems, and looking back in hindsight, I see some things we could have done different. I see some things they should have done different. But my point to all that is, you are supposed to be here, Johnny, because of your nationality. I don't know how it's supposed to work and operate. I just know it is. Maybe you interpret since you speak good English too. I don't know. Johnny speaks better English than I do. You know, I have that kind of country hick thing or whatever. But I know, see, can you see what I'm talking about? And then you've got Christians, they're born again, and they are so against the church, so against assembling. I don't need to go to church to serve God. It's a part of your service. And you are stunting your growth whenever you don't have it. And because you're not in the place God sends you to be, He's got to send somebody else because of His plan. That's exactly why Johnny and Samantha's here. Not saying you couldn't have come if they stayed. That's not what I'm saying. Just like me and Scotty, it is the plan of God that we start this church, that we be here however long that God says. But if we didn't do it, God would send somebody else in our place. Well, His will's going to be done. Just like when you hear the story of when he went on the street. Guy comes out there, you know, he's upset, asked him, what you doing? He says, well, I'm setting up, I'm going to preach on the street. And he says, God told me to do that. Scotty says, well, buddy, just repent. You know, I don't really know what to tell you. Why? Because God will woo. But if you won't obey, He will send somebody else. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not going to let Him send nobody else in my place. Ain't none of us here. So we're going to grow and we're going to develop, and our destinies are intertwined with one another. Some of you, you'll leave here, you'll go out from here, but like Brother Brad, you'll never leave us in your heart. Now, Betsy, get it up for us, don't you? Okay. I didn't really know what to call this, but on the way over here, I got a title. It's called, what'd I tell you, Edification, Correction, and Instruction? That's what we're going to call this. Now, we're still on this parable, but we got to deal with this here. Now, Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God's where? In you. You get born again, and the kingdom of God comes on the inside of you. It's not floating around out here in the atmosphere. The kingdom, the whole kingdom, the word kingdom means the place where of the king's domain, where the king rules, in other words. So this scripture says that the kingdom is in us. Go ahead to Romans 14, Beth, please. I'm going to lay just a little bit of groundwork before we get into it. It's Romans 14, 17, and 18. Let me turn over because I may have to read it. I know some of these I was going to read in the Amplified Bible too. Romans 14, verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God. Now the scripture's up above this. He's talking about if you eating meat offends your brother, don't do it and all that. But here in verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat or food and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and what? Joey, where? In your mind? In your flesh? In the Holy Ghost. Now, look at Romans 15. Now, y'all see this? I don't care, but anyway. This is my message, so I could do it. Y'all see this? It says Romans 15:13. Johnny, that Sunday that I did all that laughing, some of y'all wasn't in here, y'all was back yonder, so y'all don't know. Yeah, it was major laughing. I tried to quit. I was laughing so hard my belly was hurt. I thought I was going to roll in the floor. Now I'm trying to stop and I can't. Johnny, that morning. Now, see, Johnny didn't know what was going to happen because I'm doing the 11 o'clock service. We do tithes and offerings before the 11 o'clock service, right? We do praise and worship, then we take up tithes and offerings, and then we do 11 o'clock preaching, teaching, whatever. Well, Johnny had, this is his envelope, he puts his money in. Johnny had wrote Romans 15:13 on that. Now, did God tell you anything he was going to do in that service? But you felt led to put that, didn't you? I figured you would, or you wouldn't do it, or whatever. But anyway, it was a good one. Now, because he says God didn't tell him, he had no clue what was going to happen in that service. But this verse is exactly what happened in this service. Let's read it here. Let me back up just a little bit. Now, this whole thing is talking about when Christ comes and us believing on Him, and it causes all this stuff. But that's not just when we got born again. So in verse 10, just for time's sake. And again he saith, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people, that's us. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, talking about Jesus, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace in what? Believing that you may abound in hope, which we know is confident expectation. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants out the box. And the Holy Spirit, he is the one that does the miracles. Now let me read that verse in the Amplified. It says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Y'all seen it get on Monty Sunday, didn't he? It does. Hey, listen to me, man. I'm sorry, Monty. I got to try to stay proper here. But anyway, listen, if I just start rolling around in the flow or laughing, just come get the microphone. Same God, you just finished the message, okay? Because don't bother me. I don't want to be bothered. You wouldn't want to be bothered either, would you, Monty? No. What happened that Sunday morning was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Why? He says, in the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, in believing. Now, a lot of Christians, they don't get full enough of believing to ever see a manifestation like that. Y'all not saying nothing. Oh, here we go, Ron Carpenter. Now we're going to get a little rough here. A lot of Christians don't even know that's there. But when you get the word and you water yourself and you water, and Monty, I had a revelation when you was doing Sunday school. I sure did. I had been thinking that morning, for some reason I kept thinking about how the water, when God first created the earth before Adam and Eve sinned, the way he originated it was, it did not rain. The Bible says that the moisture came from where? Out of inside the earth. And I thought, I see it, God, I see it. Everything is a type and a shadow. Just like this, you read the book of Revelation. In here you have the 12 apostles. Guess what's there? New Jerusalem, it has 12 foundation stones. There had to be 12 apostles. There could not be 11. Why? Because what happened here was a type and shadow is what's going to be there. You understand? When God first created the earth, we are connected to the earth. He made us out of it. That's what our body's made out of. Now our spirit, before sin ever entered in, was the Spirit of God in us, is what gave life to us. Well, the same way that in the beginning, before it got tainted and messed up, the water flowed up out of inside the earth and watered the earth. The same thing that happens to us when we get born again, the Bible says there is a well of living water on the inside of us. He says, draw it out. And Monty, you mentioned the rivers of living water. And when you said that, I got it, God, I got it, I got it. That is a top and a shadow. That's exactly why I was thinking that's how it was in the beginning. Why? Because everything that is going to be. And everything that is going to be is what already is. Now, I'm not trying to talk in a parable. That's why I said we have to have mind renewal. That's exactly what he's talking about when he tells it, this is the way of the kingdom. The kingdom is in you. But a lot of Christians keep looking for it out here. It's not out here, it's in you. So when you are believing God at your greatest height, that Joey, Sandy, one time me and Scotty and his niece down there at Nectar before the bridge got burned and all that, we all used to go down there and hang out. Well, I don't know, just the crap. Maybe the devil wanted to kill us that day. I don't know, or just we was just as stupid, that's what we did. It had rained and rained and rained. And we go down there, me and Scotty and his niece, and we're standing there, and all of a sudden, we have this bright idea. Let's swim across. This thing is completely out of banks. The place where the rocks we used to sit on beside the river, they're covered. This thing is almost up to the trees, and it's muddy, and it is raging. And we have, probably Scotty, he's the one let in the sea all the time. But anyway, I don't know who it was, but we had this bright idea to swim across. So we jumped in, and here we go. And by the time I get to the cross, across. I'm huffing and puffing, and I put in there up here, and I end up down here. Do you understand? It's the same way with the peace and the joy in the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that you can get so full and so watered till the banks of your river on the inside is bubbling over. What is the manifestation of faith? When somebody's got faith, what happens? They talk it. I about wore Scotty out with them glasses. Now I about wore him down with my brother. Because every time that I just have the thought about my brother, I say, thank you, Father God, he's coming home any minute now. And I don't say that trying to make him come home. I say that because it's on the inside of here. And when I think about it, when I just sit around, there's a song that says, when I think about his goodness. It makes me want to shout. Makes me want to jump. But see, a lot of people, they don't want God out of the box enough to jump. You would look stupid. Who cares? I'm telling you, if you're going to do this parable, what he's talking about, and let him out of the box, sometimes you're going to look stupid. Sometimes you're going to feel stupid. But whenever you do whatever he tells you to do, miracles happen. Why? Because he uses the foolishness to confound the wise. They think they know God. They think they know something. They think they know some scriptures. But they won't believe him and do absolutely anything. But he says there in Amplified, he says bubbling over. Do you know the Bible talks about in the Old Testament how he went out there and he measured the river with a rod? He said it's ankle deep, then it's knee deep, and then it goes on and says, and waters to swim in. Whoo! Those are the ones you get in. And the river just takes you wherever it chooses to go. That's what we want. Wherever you want to go, Holy Ghost, that's where we want to go. Your will is our will. But that bothered some people. Now I have one that every time they shake my hand, they have this kind of grinding laughing that's really getting on my nerves, and I'm fixing to ask them why they're doing that. Because see, if it's ignorance, all ignorance needs is some instruction. Because you don't know. But now if it's mocking, rebellion, or making fun, we're going to have some correction. So you can't care what people think about you. You better care only what God thinks about you. And God has brought me to the place, y'all don't know how much I don't care. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm to the point of, God, whatever you say. What, just make me look so stupid. I mean, them glasses, the most ridiculous thing. Then these songs. I mean, not going to break my stride. I got to keep on moving. It's talking, the other part's talking about something about rowing your boat and doing your laundry. And I'm like, God, this is so crazy. Oh, but it's been watering this garden. But do y'all get where that comes from? See, when you don't know, you think it's just laughing. No, it's not like watching Tim Hawkins on TV and laughing. This is a supernatural, by the Spirit of God, on the inside of you, power of God that causes it to spring up. Do y'all stand there with your door open when y'all are putting gas in your car or whatever and watch the hand to see when it's full? I didn't think so. A bunch of weirdos, I mean, do that. I don't either. I close the door and I stand outside my truck and I put the gas in. Most time I can hear it. If I'm listening, if it's not too loud around me or whatever. You can hear it. The sound changes when it gets up there close to the top. But if I'm not listening or it's too loud, guess what happens? I got gas on my shoe. I got gas on the side of the truck. I got gas on my hand. I got gas on my pants. That's exactly the way that is. That is a manifestation of the power of God that is on the inside of you. That springs up and waters you. Because you don't ever want to get dry. See, there are some Christians, they believe you got to be dry. Oh, and they just want to pound the heavens whenever they feel dry. It's going to do you no good, buddy. None whatsoever. Why? Watering don't come that way. God has explained to us how watering comes. And he don't change his word. You've heard Scotty say it before. He had a revelation. God told him, he said, you never have to be dry spiritually again another day in your life. Do you know there's Christians that they reject that? When it's right in line with the word, the one we just read. Peace and joy in believing in the Holy Ghost. bubbling up on the inside of you. Well, you know what? God wants a lot of bubbling up going on around here. Now, I know there was at least one that didn't really care for that, and that's okay. Like I said, ignorance needs instruction. Then there was some in here, they've not been back. I don't know why. Don't care if that was the reason. I hate it for you, but hey, got to keep moving on. Ain't nothing going to break my stride. Got to keep on moving, baby. I don't mean that in a bad way. I want everybody. I'm just like God. He said that he would that none should perish, but all come to repentance. But he ain't stopping the plan and what's going on to wait on everybody. We got to get with him. Excuse me. Looking at notes here. Because I ain't got 15 minutes. Yeah, I obeyed the notes here. Look at... I think it's John 7, 37 through 39 I want to look at. Because I got some more things I got to move on to, so I might not get to all these scriptures about the joy and all of that. Y'all may have to go back if y'all need more convincing on that. John 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, notice that word is believing. It was in the very scripture that we read, 13. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of where? His belly. That word belly means your innermost being. In other words, your spirit man. Why? Because this laughter that I'm talking about, it's not fleshly. It's spiritual laughter. Caused by the Holy Spirit on the inside of you believing. He says, out of his belly shall flow what? A little pail of water every now and then. Oh, and them rivers can get so out of bank, they just flowing everywhere. I mean, you're like I just thought about a water cooler that's walking. The water is just slushing all over the place. Yeah, and you can just slush that water on everybody. That way, when you got the joy, you can just be spreading the joy. But you know what? If you're dry and look like you've been sucking on a lemon, you spread that too if somebody will take it. Bless God, I ain't taking it, though. I have found out. I have found the joy, and I'm just going to let it stay there. We're not going to read this one. It's John 4, 7 through 14. Y'all probably remember the story. It's the woman at the well. Jesus, she had come there to draw water, natural water. And Jesus told her, if you knowed who it was that was talking to you, you would ask of me that I give you living water. He said that you'll never have to come here and draw again. Do you understand? There's natural water, but then there's spiritual water. Okay. All right, because I've got to go... Put up Isaiah 12:3, please, Beth. I think this may be the one you read last week. Was it Monty? He says, therefore with joy shall you draw. I don't know about y'all, but whenever I was a kid, Granny at her house, they had well water. And sometimes they had this big, long metal thing that you go out there and you put that down in there with a rope, you know, and you let it get full and then you pull it up. That's what he says. That's what this is happening right here. He says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So if you're getting dry, you need to get drawing. You might say, well, how do you draw? Look at Ephesians 5. Gosh, I got to hurry up with this. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 17. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Listen, if Christians don't stay well watered, they start looking for natural things to fill that. Don't mean they're not saved. He says, but be filled with what? The Spirit. He says, how? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're dry, how you going to draw it up? God's give us quite a few songs, ain't he? I didn't even know you could use songs to water. Y'all been playing new songs? Y'all been singing new songs? Y'all done forgot. Ain't got time for you, devil. Don't waste your time on me. I told him, I said, listen, sucker. I said, don't mess with me. I ain't got time for you. And you are wasting your time messing with me because you're getting nowhere. And according to Scripture, the Bible says in Revelation that you've been cast down here and you are mad, buddy, because you're upset because the Bible says you know your time is short. Tick tock, tick tock. You better get to moving away from me. Tick tock, your time's running out. He can't stand that. And before you know it, where'd you go? Well, I guess you just got on out of here. Go mess with somebody because your time's running out, buddy. And if I'm not getting nowhere, Sandy, I'm going to move on to the next one, don't you think? Yeah, he has to. Y'all are the same way. Now, something else that I want to, that I've got to deal with here. And this one is pride. I wrote down, when you receive whatever it is that you're believing God for. Now, it's been 2 weeks and 4 days since God gave us John 15:7. The whole church, and we asked whatever we asked from God. When you get it, when I'm talking about, and I know you got it on the inside right now, but I'm talking about when the manifestation, you see it standing there, or you've got it in your hand, whatever the case may be. When that happens, do not say, my faith did this. Or when somebody asks you, say, I got it by faith. And this is the reason for it. Because that puts the main emphasis on you. And the emphasis should never be on me and you. God began to speak to me about this because this is one of the things that happened to me. It probably doesn't happen to a lot of y'all. But while I'm believing this and everything, what God has put in my heart, and it's in there and I'm believing it. How many knows if the devil can't get you one way, he comes another way? So he couldn't get me, you know, I'm so unworthy in this, that, and other, because that scripture didn't say nothing about by my works. He said, if I believe, I'll do it. He'll do it. Well, so all of that stuff that he comes and he tries don't work. So then he flip-flops it on the other side. And then I start hearing this thought. Well, when your brother's standing there, because I feel like I have announced this on national TV. That's how I feel. And I mean, everybody that knows the situation knows ain't nothing happened. That it's like my words are versus the state of Alabama. But what the state of Alabama might not know is it's not my words. I'm repeating his words, so it's God versus the state of Alabama. So we already know who's going to win that. But I feel like I've announced this on national TV. Before y'all, it's on the internet, you know, it's a Facebook, all this stuff and everything. So then here he comes and he says, you know, when your brother's standing there, everybody's going to see you did it. They're going to see that you have really got faith. They're going to know because they're going to see it. I thought, you idiot. And I began to talk to him, and then after that I began to praise the Lord and thank the Lord. Because, see, it is like I have just been in the same for the ride. I didn't speak to myself, John 15:7. Sandy, God instigated that. And another thing he showed me, he said, I am the author. He came and instigated John 15:7. And I am the finisher of your faith in Hebrews 12, I'm sorry. And this is the way it is. When you say, and I know Hebrews 11 talks about by faith, by faith, by faith, but that's not the point. The point is, don't you ever take no glory for what God does. And the devil, if he cannot get you on this side, he will try to get you on this side, because the minute you stop taking glory and people start looking at you, God stops moving. Because he says he'll share his glory with nobody. So I told the Lord, I said, God, thank you, Father. I know how I am receiving what I ask of you. Number one, by your mercy and your grace, God, you have given us things. You can't even be saved without the grace of God. That's his goodness. That's his mercy. He didn't have to do that. But because he loves us so much, son. And then, you say, by my faith. Well, no, how did you get faith? Where'd it come from? Did you muster it up? Did you go rip it up? How did you get it? The Bible says every man has been given a measure of faith that's been born again. So whose faith are you using? that just blows his theory right out of the water, Sandy. Number one, it's not my faith. Or number one is I didn't instigate it. It's by God's goodness and his mercy, his grace, that he's done all this for me. Then number two, he gives me a measure of his own faith, like in the form of a grain of mustard seed that we plant, and he's the author and the finisher of it. So where am I in all this? I'm just along for the ride. I just believe it. That's all. He said it. I choose to believe it. So who gets all the glory? He does. And listen, pride is so nauseous. Y'all didn't see me. Let me say that. Pride is so nauseating. The Bible says God hates it. He absolutely hates it. It is the very essence of the devil. So if you're yielding to pride, you're already in a wrong spirit. See, you'll see people, they say things and they do things, and you can see them like, Scotty's got a family member. We won't go in that anyway. He is all that in a bag of chips, he thinks. And he's not, but anyway, you know. That is so nauseating. And the thing about it is, you think that's Billy Bad, you think that's something, and everybody else is like, ugh, yuck. We know what you are. We see what you are. Right? And it's so nauseating to God. Proverbs 8:13, please, Beth. So don't fall into that trap. Stay humble. The humble get the grace. And without grace, you ain't going to get it nothing. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, he says, do I hate. Proverbs 1:7, since it mentioned the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We all need some knowledge, don't we? He says, but fools, that's what a prideful person is. You are a fool. I didn't say it. That's what the Bible says. He says, of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why? They know everything. You can't tell them nothing. They know everything. And how many knows those that think they know everything, when you come right now, they don't really know anything. The more that you serve God and the closer you get to him, the more you see you don't know. That's why you got to have him so much more in your life. Proverbs 16:18, please, Beth. Pride goeth before what? Exaltation? Destruction. Listen, there's no, it's either is or it ain't with this. You get it? He says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? I don't know about y'all, I don't want destruction. I've been redeemed from destruction according to Psalm 103. And 107:20. He sent his word, healed me, and delivered me from all my destruction. I don't want to fall either. I want to be exalted. I want to be like him. And he says that if I'll humble myself, take myself, he will exalt me. But he says here, all anybody that's in pride and arrogance, you're going down. Let's read James 4:6-7, please, Beth. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists. Listen, you ain't never been resisted till you've been resisted by God. Ain't nobody can resist you no more. And the thing about it, if God is resisting you, you can't get no help. He says, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud. And I'm not just talking about in spiritual matters. Listen to me, young people. Y'all are more susceptible to pride the older you get. There's just something about teenagers. The Bible even talks about how that in ministry, not to put a new convert, somebody that just got born again, into ministry. He says, lest he become like Satan and get puffed up in pride. There's just something about you. Now, do you have to get into it? Absolutely not. You can resist it. You can humble yourself. But he goes on and he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But notice, the humble submit to God. The proud don't. But the proud don't get the grace. The humble do. Now, let me tell you something. Think with me for just a second, because I'm going to have to stop. I'm not going to be able to finish this. The next one is, it goes over to Nehemiah. I went yesterday and read almost that whole thing again. I felt led to. Nehemiah was working on the wall, and you got Tobias and Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom, or whatever his name is, however you say that. Nehemiah's working on the wall, building the wall back for Israel and everything. And they come out and say, come off, come down, talk to us. I ain't got time for you, devil. Listen, you're working on something. Don't be distracted. But anyway, I ain't got time for that. The greatest faith is linked to the greatest humility. Why do I say that? Y'all remember what Jesus said to the centurion? That he sent his guys out there and he said, his servant is at home sick and everything, and he didn't find it worthy to come to you, so he sent us. And if you would just speak the word. Notice what the next thing he says is. He says, because I too am a man under authority. He said, I tell this one go, and he goes. He's a Roman centurion. He said, I tell this one come, and he comes. But what is he saying? He said, I recognize, Jesus, that you have all authority. I understand authority because I'm a man under authority and in authority. He said, but I recognize that your authority is greater than mine. So then here faith comes, and he says, just speak the word. Just speak the word. Because see, you can't have great levels of faith and operate in great faith being proud. Cannot happen. Why? Because you're out of ranks of authority, number one. He said, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Well, when you're in pride and arrogance, see, you're not submitting to God and the devil ain't leaving. See, he told him, he said, Paul I know, Jesus I know. He says, but who are you? And then he beat him up, tore the clothes off, and they run down the road naked. So if you want to have great faith, get more humble. Because the humble get the grace. And how many knows with enough grace you can do anything that God tells you to do? And I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we close?